I'd like to make sure that anyone who's joining us on streaming, you're welcome. We hope that you can benefit from celebrating these mysteries together with all of us. And it's Presence Day weekend, and I don't know where everybody has come from, but the church is full tonight, so delighted that you're all here. This gospel is there's a lot on the table that Jesus puts out. and I would like to just begin with a question and try to at least respond to that in part, because I think the response cannot be completely made tonight. But the question, and I don't know if it's occurred to you, but it occurs to me many times, even in the course of a single day, do I really have a Lord Jesus Christ, or is he really at the center of my life? Do I know him, and is he real and a part of what I do each day? And as you know, I'm a priest, and I pray that he is at the center of my life. But because he is the eternal Word, and he is as laid out tonight in the gospel, he is our Lord and Savior. And in this gospel, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and then you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill should not be, cannot be hidden. And now he tells us, in very straightforward language, how to live as a disciple of his. And if he's real, then I think we would live as disciples of his, at least as well as we can. And the first reading tonight tells us, you can live the commandments if you choose them. And the second reading tells us, about the wisdom of God that he has given to us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as entered the mind of men and women what God has prepared for those who love him. That has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, St. Paul tells us. But in any case, is Jesus real and at the center of my life and your life, in your heart, dwelling day in and day out? That's the question. And one way to respond to that, George Barna, who is a pollster and a Christian, he says, Americans say they revere the Bible, but by and large, according to his polls, they don't read it. This is not just about Catholics. This is all Americans. Just a couple of facts. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Imagine that. I'm sure you could all name the four Gospels. Sure. 60% of Americans cannot name even five of the Ten Commandments and get them right. 60%. 82% of Americans believe the proverb, God helps those who help themselves, believe that that's in the Bible. 82% of Americans believe that. It's, I don't know if it's from Shakespeare, but it's not from the Bible. And 12% believe that Joan of Arc was married to Noah. She was Noah's Mrs. Arc. And more than 50% of graduating high school seniors believe that Sodom and Gomorrah are husband and wife. Now, those results might make you feel a little better about your knowledge of the scriptures, but as the great Saint Jerome said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Jesus, is ignorance of the Lord. So, if he's not if you're wondering, like me, is he at the center of my life? One way to put him at the center, I know, would be to read the scriptures as often as possible, daily if possible. One of our recent popes said, it would be so enriching in our lives, our spiritual lives, if we spent 15 minutes a day, that's all, just reading the gospels. We would come to know Jesus better, and he would have a much better chance of being at the center of our lives. The other part of the answer is Jesus real and at the center of my life, my daily life, is to look at the commands that he lays out for us tonight in the gospel. And he says, you were told, thou shalt not kill, but I say to you, do not grow angry with your brother. That's an amazing statement. Is there anybody here? Raise your hand if you have never gotten angry with any brother or sister of yours. Anybody? I should put my hand down. I should, sorry. The first reading says, if you choose to live the commandments, God will give you everything that you need to live those. But he's calling us to something even more. He's recognizing that people who murder at some point had to have anger as the beginning of that murder, and it led to murder in the end. Every day when I drive to work and I see someone, usually there's some one car that cuts in and out of traffic, and even if it doesn't mean they're going to advance, they just, if there's an opening, boom, cut in and out. And it's, they do not put a signal or give any indication that they're going to do that, because that would be like giving the enemy advance notice of what you're going to do. So, but I have this little impulse in me that whenever someone does that, I want to drive up next to the person and not do anything bad, but simply, like, what kind of person is doing this? So, and ladies, I have to tell you, I'm amazed at how many women are the ones who do this. And I'm just surprised. I'm not saying that it's higher than 50%, but it's, there are a lot. But all these little things in our lives that can cause us to get angry, unless we, find a way to deal with that, other than letting it grow and grow and fester, can end up in murder. There's a case a few years ago. Honestly, this was a serious case. A woman and her daughter were, they were driving behind a van. They got angry because whatever the van was doing wasn't going fast enough. They got right behind him, and she's blowing her horn, tailgating, and she's screaming and yelling. Other cars saw this happen, and then when she saw the van get off on an exit, she followed that van getting off, and she went and pulled up beside him, and there was a big, there was mud and a big puddle. She spun her wheels around in such a fashion that she got mud and dirt and water all over this big van. And then in her anger, she turned around and she went back up on the exit ramp, going in the opposite direction, and went right into, she was so angry, she went right into oncoming traffic. And she and her daughter were both killed instantly in a head-on collision, because their anger had gotten so out of control and led to their own death. And it's, so Jesus is saying, You were told not to murder. I say, do not grow angry, because that anger can fester and lead to murder. You were told not to commit adultery. I say, do not even lust after a person. Do not objectify women or men, and let that grow into something much worse that really is demeaning of other people. If says in any case, he reminds us, if he is at the center of our lives, not only do we avoid murder and adultery and other things, we rely upon his grace and with our own reserves to deal with anger in constructive ways. The other one is, if your brother has anything against you when you go to the altar, leave it there. Do not short circuit the process of reconciliation, of being healed, or think that you can rely just upon ceremonies and religious services to make up for what you have to do to be reconciled with your brother or sister. And if we do not do that, then he's not at the center of our lives. He is not real, and he is not that person upon whom our whole life revolves. I'd like to end with something that the Pope said today. And this has to do with, he started out by saying, yeah, you should not kill. He said, Jesus reminds us that words, too, can kill. When it is said of a person that he has the tongue of a snake, what does it mean? It means that his words kill. So not only should we not try to take our neighbor's life, we should not pour the poison of anger on him or strike him with calumny, nor should we speak ill of him. We start gossiping. Gossiping, too, can kill, because it kills a person's reputation. This is exact quote. Gossip is very ugly. At the beginning, it can seem pleasant, even entertaining, like sucking on candy, he says. But in the end, it fills our hearts with bitterness. It poisons us, too. And I tell you the truth, and I am convinced that if each of us were to decide to avoid gossip, in the end, we would become saints. That's beautiful. He says, I tell you in all truth that I am convinced that if each of us were to decide to avoid gossip, in the end, we would become saints. It's a beautiful path. Then he said, this all in the piazza, he said, do you want to become saints? Yes or no? And everybody yelled, yes. So do you want to become saints? Yes or no? Yes. And do you want to avoid gossiping? Yes or no? Yeah, I guess that's right. So he ended up, he's really funny. He ended up saying, so we are agreed, no more gossiping. And gossiping is one of the ways in which we quietly take another person's life. And it is a big issue in a lot of people's lives, at home, at work, and it can be deadly. You can see it on the internet with some of these young people who take their lives because they're people gossip about them, say things about them, and all of that. And they can do it with anonymity as well. So that's another part of it. In any case, I think the question tonight is really a helpful one spiritually. Is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at the center of your lives? And when we gather around the altar of the Lord, we celebrate that. And what does that mean for us each day? It means that not only does he call us to live the Ten Commandments, but he calls us to live not the letter of the law like the Pharisees and the scribes, but to live to live the life of Christ in a more profound way, according to the Spirit, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with everything that we have. Now, I know I don't do that every day, but I pray to be more faithful to living that. I pray that each one of us in this community of faith as well would more faithfully put Christ, our Lord, at the center of our lives, and he would continue to transform my heart, your hearts, and this community, and make us his good disciples. So as we pray tonight, I'm filled with great joy and gratitude to God for calling me to be a disciple of his, and for calling all of us, and to be able in a church that is full this night to worship this living God and place him at the very center of our worship and of our lives and of our hearts.